Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of God, the 12th Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 13, 2016, or it's Sicily 14, 2020, we'll start our first service today with a song entitled Showers of Blessings. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of law. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Father above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we pay. There shall be showers of blessing, precious to reviving again. Over the hills and the valley, sounds of abundance of flame. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There should be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Yah. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and honor that word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There should be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now is the hour confessing, now Yahshua we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round this earth falling, but for the showers we plead. Holy Spirit, part three. Let us continue now with our study. Our last study was in our last study, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, He therefore that despises not man, but Yahweh, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now in Ephesians 4:30 it says, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption. Ephesians 1:13, In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask him? Alright, Isaiah 63:11, Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Verse 10, But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So, that was our main verses yesterday, in last sermon. Now we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 35 today, and we're going to continue our series. This is, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Yahweh hath commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be unto you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Yahweh. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Yahweh commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Yahweh. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Yahweh, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple, and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skin dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. And onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Yahweh hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his taches, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets. The ark and the staves thereof with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering. The table and his staves and all his vessels. And his showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamp, with the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his stave, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the inner end of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offerings with his brazen gate, grate, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court, and their cords, the cloth of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments of his son, to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Yahweh's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings, and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Yahweh. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger, the skins brought them, every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass, brought the Yahweh's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both of the blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Yahweh, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Yahweh had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Bezaleel and Aholiab, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Yahweh hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Here's that tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. And he has filled him with the Spirit of the Yahweh. He has filled him with the Spirit of the Yahweh, and wisdom, and understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to sit them, and in carvings of wood to make any manner of cunning wood. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Hahaliab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with a wisdom of heart to work all manner of the work of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, and the blue, and in the purple, and scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Isaiah 57, first verse, the righteous perishes, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of the transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valley, under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They that are thy lot, even unto them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou to offer a sacrifice. Behind the doors also and of the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed, for thou sawest it, and thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it unto thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. The contrite and humble, healed, verse 14, and shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take the up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For this saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth the eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Now do you realize that we have just been told by Isaiah that Yahshua has another name, and it's called Holy. Okay. And he says, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now we're talking about revival, a reformation here. So Isaiah says, well, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So, how about us? It's incumbent upon us to become holy so that we can also dwell with Yahshua in his place above. That's by the Spirit. And whenever you go to Revelation chapter 3 for the end time events that is recorded there, you will find out that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now here's that Spirit again. Our key title for our sermon is Holy Spirit. And so it's talking about those that overcome. It says over here in Revelation chapter 2, it says verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, the Spirit is the same thing as the Holy Spirit. Same thing. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of Yahweh, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and my patience, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Well, we know that that applied to Gilead Center more directly than anywhere else, other than the rodents that set up a false branch image message to the for the Davidians. They set up a false branch. Brother Johnson set up a true branch message image, and then he ended up losing out in the end. When the time was time to bring it to fulfillment and fruition, he lost out. Okay, now, when it talks about he that overcometh, there in Revelation chapter 2, it goes on down to the verse 26, and it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken or shivered, even as I received of my Father. So it's always talking about he that overcometh. So it says in Revelation chapter 3, it says in verse 7, and unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, that's the servant that had been put in charge of that candlestick, and we know that that was William Miller in 1833. He says to William Miller, he says, the angel of the church in Philadelphia in 1833, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that is that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. So, he's addressing the angel as he says, he that is holy, he that is true, he that he hath the key of David. That's the one you want to look to, that's the one you want to go searching after, the one that hath the key of David. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Okay, so this angel of the sixth candlestick, Philadelphia, William Miller, there's the Millerite church that he organized. He just actually was a movement. He organized a movement. He didn't organize a church. He organized a movement. And people have got to realize this. William Miller was a prophetic messenger, reform messenger, and he organized a movement. But all your other reformers, starting with Martin Luther in 1500, He didn't organize a movement. He organized a protest movement. The protesting of false doctrine that the Catholic Church was teaching. And then Yahweh raised up John Knox, 1543, head of the Presbyterian Church, and he had a protest movement. These were protest movements, but they weren't prophetic movements. For a whole nation, it was just protest movement within the Catholic Church, which these reformers came out of the Catholic Church and formed a protest movement against the Catholic Church. Okay, so then you had a protester then in 1725, John Wesley, he started a protest movement and called the Methodist Church, and his message was righteousness by grace. He had a protest movement. Protest. But he wasn't a prophetic movement as far as fulfilling prophecy. He didn't have no prophecy given to him to point out. And then Alexander Campbell came along in 1810 and he formed what they call the Christian Church or the Baptist Church. And he had the doctrine of baptism by the immersion, and he had the protest movement. Now, these are different kind of movements within the grand movement. Yeshua and the disciples in the first century at the cross, they started the movement that the reformers were part of. But the reformers was raised up to start protesting. And so, when they formed a protest movement, then they formed a church organization. The protesters formed a church organization. And so, in essence, whenever you have a protester, he has to form an organization, call it by name. And so, therefore, you had Martin Luther start a protest movement of righteousness by faith. In the blood of the everlasting covenant. And so therefore he raised up the Lutheran Church. John Wesley, or John Knox, the Presbyterian, 1543, his doctrine was the Holy Spirit. And what are we teaching today? What's the name of our sermons and our series? It's the Holy Spirit. Well, John Knox is the one that was shown that the Holy Spirit is a doctrine. And that it is all in all. It's a teacher. It's a guide. It's powerful. It can save you physically or spiritually. If you're in trouble physically and your life is in danger, the Holy Spirit can protect you and save you, no matter where you're at. Okay? So now, this is the most interesting. It talks about the overcomer. Okay, and we're going to go to Ezra now. We're going to read chapter 1, only 11 verses. It says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of the heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His Elohim be with him, and let him go up unto Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is the Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem." Okay, now, he says, he is the Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. Okay, let's read that again now and put Yahshua's name in there. Who is there among you of all his people? His God, it says here, so would be his Elohim, or Yahweh, be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, that is in Judah, and build the house of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Who is the princess? He is the God. In other words, he is the authentic living Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beef, beside the freewill offering for the house of Yahweh that is in Jerusalem. Now here Ezra, he's a scribe of the law. He's a lawyer. And he's telling them, the children of Judah, he says, Yahweh abides in Jerusalem. He is there now waiting for you. In other words, he's waiting for you to come and build his house. He said, he is in Jerusalem. Well, you think that would excite the people. Say, oh my goodness, Yahweh has already come down and he's abiding in Jerusalem. And he's seeing his place is all broken down and our captivity is ended. We're free to go back. So let us all go back. Let us get going right now as fast as we can. You think that would be in their hearts if they thought the Heavenly Father and His Son was there, which they were. You think that they would want to beat a path back there. But Satan blinded their eyes. Verse 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah, and Benjamin, and the priests, and the Levites, with all them whose spirit Yahweh had raised to go up unto to build the house of the Yahweh which is in Jerusalem. So it was only those that Yahweh had Yahweh had put his spirit in. Those that would allow his spirit to be put in them, he did this. And it said, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit Yahweh had raised up. So those who had the spirit in them, Yahweh raised them up to go up to build the house of the Yahweh which is in Jerusalem. So you always have a remnant in Israel that are ready to be called and to let the Holy Spirit use them, but you have to have that spirit come in you. You cannot go on your own initiative without the Spirit abiding in you. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit abiding in you, or you can't do anything for Yahweh. You can't do one thing for Him unless the Spirit is abiding in you. All right. Now it says, verse 6, Ezra 1, and all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had wrought, had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia. And every time I say the name Cyrus, I'm talking about Donald Trump today. This is the prophecy and the type for what's going on right now in the world. Donald Trump is this antitypical Cyrus, king of the Medes and the Persians, and also the king of Babylon after he overthrew Babylon. And we know that Washington, D.C. is a modern-day seat of Babylon, what we call physical and spiritual Babylon. It's a very physical kingdom. And Obama is in charge of it, but he only has 2 months left on his calendar to occupy that throne of Babylon, which is Belshazzar's, antitypical Belshazzar's. Belshazzar was actually a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, but they called him in places, they called him Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Other places, they called him the grandson. Well, when you check it out and start fact-checking, you'll find out that he's probably the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And so, Donald Trump is antitypical Cyrus that overthrows antitypical Belshazzar that's occupying the White House in Washington, D.C. today. And so, antitypical Belshazzar, Obama has until January the 20th. And right now they're fomenting a lot of terror and demonstrations in this country. And it looks like they're going to have a state of war against terrorism develop here in this country. And, you know, the president has the authority then, the sitting president, just to declare a national emergency and say we're at war with terrorism. And he's the one that's backing the creation of it. So he's going to try to create this so he can say, well, I'm going to suspend the election, the Constitution, and I'm going to stay on as because we have a crisis. Well, in this case, this is the one time it's not going to work because we have an international movement that is taking place. And Donald Trump started. And it's not going to stop until all nations of the earth have completely changed their governments, chosen a new Donald Trumps to run their governments all over the world, and that's what they call a new world, not the new world order that's created by George Bush and company, Senior, but it's a new world created by Donald Trump. Okay? Antitypical Cyrus. So, when you read about antitypical Cyrus, you're reading about Donald Trump today. So it says in Ezra 1:8, even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and numbered them under Shethbazar, the prince of Judah. Okay, and this is the number of them, 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410 and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Shethbazar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Those returning from Babylon. Okay. Now, it's just going to give you the name of all those that returned from Babylon, chapter 2 here. We're not going to go into that right now. We're going to continue on with our theme, though, about the Holy Spirit. In Nehemiah chapter 9 now, we're going to go to it. It says, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So they separate themselves from all strangers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Yahweh, their Elohim, 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Yahweh, their Elohim. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua, and Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chananiah, and cried with a loud voice unto Yahweh the Elohim. Then the Levites, Jeshua, and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, and Shebaniah, and Petahaniah, said, "Stand up, and bless Yahweh Elohim forever and ever, and bless be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou even thou art Elohim alone." That, in other words, thou even thou art the Yahweh alone, the Father. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that are therein, and thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Yahweh, the Elohim, who did choose Abraham, and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him. Now this is what we're dealing with here. Yahweh only makes a covenant with those that he can trust, that has already proven themselves to be faithful in all of their dealings with him. And so he made a covenant with Elijah David, the one I'm speaking to you right now. He renewed this covenant with me in 2002, and he took, because the prophet before me had broken the everlasting covenant with Yahweh. And so Yahweh had to spew him out of his mouth, and he had to renew the covenant with Elijah David to continue on down this road that leadeth to the way everlasting. Okay, so he said he made a covenant with Abraham to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. See? He said, for thou art righteous. Who's he talking about? Because Abraham was righteous. Well, Yahweh, he's very proud of Abraham. He just loves to lift Abraham's example up to the world. And he says here in Genesis 26:5, he says, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Okay. So that's the reason why Yahweh fulfilled his covenant with Abraham and his seed after him. That was preordained by the Spirit. He said he renewed his covenant with those that will be faithful and execute his covenant in all ages at all times that he commands. So, in Nahum, chapter 9, now once again, we go to verse 17, and refused to obey, so, neither were mindful of my wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return unto their bondage, but thou art a Elohim ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsakest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, "This is thy Elohim that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsakest them not in the wilderness, the pillar of the cloud departed not from them by the day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of the fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go, Well, that's what the light of the scriptures are for today, to shine upon our pathway, to show us in the way that we're supposed to go at all times. Now, he gave us also the good spirit to instruct them. And withheld us not thy manna from their mouth, and gave us them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swell not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so they possessed the land of the Sihon, and the land of the king of the Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multiplied as the stars of the heaven, and brought us them into the land concerning which thou hast promised unto their father, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands, with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells, digged vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in the great goodness. So when famine strikes the earth again today, and in our time here in the future, and the masses of the nations are going starving to death, it's because, number one, they're heathen nations, and those that are starving to death are heathens that refuse to be converted to the truth. Okay, and so, but to the righteous, and those that they will allow Yahweh to lead them by the Spirit, they would be led into the promised land once again. And there will be olive yards, and there will be vineyards, and water wells, fresh water wells already there with spring water running through them. And they'll have plenty to eat, and they'll be filled on every side. Let's continue. We're on Nehemiah 9:26. It says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore, thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from the heaven. And according unto thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies, and after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore, lettest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, they heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according unto thy mercies. Verse 29, and testifiest against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years did thou forbear them, and testifieth against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful Yahweh. The Levites' Confession, verse 32, Nehemiah chapter 9. Now therefore, our Elohim, the great, the mighty, and the terrible, Yahweh, who keepeth covenant and mercy, that not all the trouble seemed little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us. For thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies, wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them. Neither turn they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yielded much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sin. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And verse 38, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests, they seal unto it. Here we got that word seal. Okay, it says, now those that sealed were Nehemiah, the Tishrathah, the son of Hakaliah, and Zidkiah. Okay. And it goes on here, and it goes through 28 verses, telling who all sealed to that, of the people there. And it says in verse 28 of the Nehemiah 10, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the potters, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land, unto the law of the Elohim, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, every one having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in Yahweh's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Yahweh, our Yahweh, and his judgments and his statutes. Okay, now we're going to go into the points of the covenant, verse 30 of Nehemiah chapter 10. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our son. And if the people of the land bring ware of any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy days, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every day. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our Elohim, for the showbread and for the continual meat offering and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbath, of the new moons, for the sit feast and for the holy things and for the sin offering to make an atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our Elohim. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our Elohim after the house of our fathers, at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Yahweh our Elohim, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Yahweh, also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks to bring to the house of our Elohim, unto the priest that minister in the house of our Elohim, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests, unto the chambers of the house of our Elohim, and the tithes of our grounds unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priests, the sons of the Aaron, shall be with the Levites. When the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our Elohim, unto the chambers, into the treasure house, for the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers. Where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and their singers, and we will not forsake the house of our Elohim? Now let's go to Job chapter 4. We're still dealing with the word Spirit, Holy Spirit, to be exact. But it says, Job 4, verse 1, Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, If we assay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. The words have upholden him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now, if it come upon thee, and thou faintest, it touches thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of Elohim they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The ruin of the lion, and the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perishes for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now a thing was secretly brought unto me, and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on the man, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, okay. Now, in verse 15, he said, Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Now, this is Eliphaz talking. This is Eliphaz. The Temanite answered and said, in verse 16 of Job 4, It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. So here is Eliphaz saying, Then a spirit passed before my face. He said, it stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal man be more just than man? Than Yahweh? Let's read that again. Here's what that spirit that said to Eliphaz. Shall mortal man be more just than the Father Yahweh? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servant, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in the houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth? They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. Okay, that ends Job chapter 4. Now let's go to Job chapter 6. This is, But Job answered. He answers Eliphaz now in verse 1. And said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balance together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit, the terrors of Yahweh do sit themselves in array against me. Okay, now, it says, doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Okay, so now. Oh, that I might have my request, and that Yahweh would grant me the thing that I long for. See, now, this is what Job is talking about. Oh, that I might have my request, and that Yahweh would grant me the thing that I long for, even that he would please, it would please Yahweh to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. Now this Holy One, Isaiah says, is Yahshua the Son. So Job is dealing with the Holy One, Yahshua the Son. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? Job calls his friend deceitful. He calls him deceitful, verse 14. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed up from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. If you forsake the fear of the Almighty, then you're in trouble. My brethren, I have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as a stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. And now ye are nothing. You see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the Almighty? Teach me, and I will lay hold, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Now he's asking his friends, he said, teach me! Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words! But what does your arguments prove? See, it says, how forcible are right words. Job 6:25. Do you imagine to reprove words in the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content. Look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Can not my taste discern perverse things? Okay, Job was a righteous man, and so he asked his deceitful friends, he calls them deceitful. He says, is there iniquity in my tongue? Question mark. Cannot my taste discern perverse things? You claim that your taste can discern perverse things. But what about me? I have lived a righteous life, and And I don't know of anything that I'm doing against the commandments of Yahweh. This is Job speaking. So he says, why? He says, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? He's asking them the question now. And now they're going to have to answer him back. And they can't do it. This brings in our study. This hour contacts us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline across the dark way. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother, oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his pillow to share. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong. Why do you tarry while linger so long? See he is sinking, oh hasten today. And help with the lifeboat away then away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline to danger frightening. Sinking in anguish for he had never been. Winds of temptation and billows of woe will soon hold them out where the dark waters flow. Throw out the lifeline across the dark way. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Soon will the season of rescue behold. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Hasten, my brother, no time for delay. But throw out the lifeline and save them today. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today.